Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to begin this evening. We're going to look at verses 43 down to verse 48, looking at some words that Jesus has to say here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 down to verse 48 is where we're going to draw our text from this evening. In looking at being more or doing more than just the tax collectors. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 down to verse 48, Jesus says here, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore," he says, "you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." But people want to live by different standards. Some have made up their own standards of life, and some have made it sound good in some cases. What about our actions? Are we doing what we need and should as Christians? Or are we being like everyone else, is what Jesus is getting at here. So look at the tax collectors. On a few different occasions, he kind of compares to the tax collectors. And how are they viewed? You know, you think about it and look and see how we view the IRS today in some cases, where you get that letter in the mail and it says from the revenue department and everything, and you're just kind of, it's usually not a good thing. I had it one time where it was a good thing, and they said, "We made a mistake and we're supposed to give you an extra $1,200. I nearly fell over. Forgot to add some extra credits for the kids. And that was the one time in life where I was happy to get a letter from the IRS. But usually, when you get that call or letter, whatever it is, it's dreaded. People, you know, they just kind of turn their nose away from it, everything. But look at the people that are working there. They do different things. They'll greet you. They'll do. She's pointing out the tax collectors back then. Yes, they may have been crooks, but they'll greet you. They'll do some things. But yet, some of you, is what Jesus is getting at as he is teaching here. He said, some of you here at this time are doing just what tax collectors do, and you should be doing more. Jesus taught valuable lessons to live more than what the world is, as we look here. To strive and work toward perfection, just as God has left us a perfect example. We want to talk about this just for a few moments tonight, and looking at what Jesus has to say about being more, because he said here on a couple of occasions, being more or doing more than just the tax collectors. Because there are many things that we think are all right. They might sound good. Something might be pleased to hear. Jesus begins off talking to them on this point in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" That's a standard the Jews were living by at that point. You have heard that it was said this way. And that sounded good. There are things that we deem as being important, sometimes based on pride. If you look over in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, you know, there are things that we might want to try to live by. We think they're good things to do. And sometimes we can be deceived by it. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, we're, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks." to direct his own steps. You know, we need help in this life. We cannot, you know, some people, I don't need any help. Some people are stubborn. I don't need any help. I don't need anything. We can be able to do everything on our own. But when it comes to a life of service to God, we need help. We're talking this morning about the double cure. We need help. And Jesus Christ gave His life to help us. But also, God, as we've talked about some here recently, God has provided His Word to be able to help guide us, to help us learn more of His ways. You know, an example. You know, one of these things, when I first started preaching, I mean, I had heard it maybe a couple times. But when I was down in Arkansas, I can remember there was an older lady, nicest lady. In Bible class, she would say it probably about once every other week. And she would say, cleanliness is close to godliness. Have you heard that? Have you heard that phrase before? And she said, I, it's there in the Scripture and everything. So I was, okay. I started looking, using different types, you know, using the computer, trying to type in the phrase. There's some people, yeah, that's a good phrase to live by. That's a good thing. That's Scripture. You know, the Jews, again. Jews were kind of like this sister. You know, it's got to be in there and taking it to some extreme. But Jesus, going back to Matthew 5, verse 43, He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." The Jews, they thought they came up with a good concept there. Yeah, we're going to love our neighbor. That sounds good. But those that are not our neighbor, we're going to hate them. That's what they believe. That's what they were taught. So again, Jesus, you've heard it. You've heard that this was said. But Jesus taught differently. As we look, He does this on a few different occasions here in Matthew chapter 5, where He says, "You have heard that it was said that you're supposed to be living this way. But I say to you," in verse 44, He says, "I say to you on this matter, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus was a radical in His Sermon on the Mount. What the Jews thought was a radical, He's teaching us something different. You know, we see how at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they were amazed at the fact and marveled at the fact that it wasn't as Jesus being a strike. He was speaking as one that had authority. And here's one of those cases. I say to you, you're not supposed to just love your neighbor and then hate your enemy. You're supposed to love your enemies. They were already doing the love your neighbor. Those tax collectors, they were already loving their neighbor. He taught us a new way of living. There in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 and verse 29. Again, Jesus, kind of concluding His Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His teaching. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Again, Jesus was teaching something different than what they were accustomed to. You got to get out of the comfort zone of what you think is okay. And He taught us the newness of life. There in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We mentioned this verse this morning. Just kind of in passing or in lesson this morning. But I want to go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. When we are baptized, we are buried in Christ. We're to put away the sins of this life. And as we rise up out, we're supposed to be living in a new manner, a new way of living. Jesus taught us about this new way of living. It says in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. You know, we have our own thoughts, our own ways, our own standards that we might try to live by. But as Paul is pointing out, as Jesus, without Christ, without God the Father, we don't have them in our, we are still lost. There are many people that have good ways of living, good standards of living. But if they don't have God, they're lost. We're to put to death the sins of this life and walk in a new manner according to God and Jesus Christ. You know, again, Jesus taught against the grain. He taught differently. You know, they were thinking, hate your enemies. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. You know, it's more accessible. It's become more and more because of like what we have with technology, being able to kind of go, for instance, on Facebook or get access to the news. We see more and more people showing different types of behaviors. Get online, you know, some people. It's probably happened to many of us. Some people, you might talk to people on Facebook or Twitter or whatever type of thing, or you talk in email, you talk on the phone, you talk with text message. Some people have different types of behavior and want to, you know, really rip on somebody for what they believe in or what their political stance is or whatever it is. Well, you know, I have different opinions, different things, and I will express them from time to time. And then sometimes people might not like it, and then they'll come back and start trying to talk to you. You know, supposed to try to speak ill will things to you. You know, the common response, what the world says, if someone speaks ill will towards you, speak it back towards them in the same manner or twofold. Give it back and give it back worse. That's what the Jews were living by, standard by. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Over in Rome, or Mark chapter 12, verse 31. The second command that Jesus gave, the first command was to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. In verse 30. In verse 31, Jesus said, the second, like it, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So again, Jesus was pointing, he was encouraging. Yes, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. But then kind of takes to the next step. It says you need to do good. Paul explains it better over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and beginning with verse 14. Romans chapter 12 beginning with verse 14. Our responsibility or our role towards others. In Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul says here, bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. with Paul, he kind of goes into a little bit more detail of what this love that you're supposed to have towards your enemy is all about. You know, again, we're supposed to bless those. We're supposed to be with those. Be of the same mind toward one another. You look at these last three verses, he starts kind of pointing a little bit more, verse 18 down to verse 21. He kind of starts going towards those that might be in opposition against you. Live peaceably with all men, as we read there in verse 18. Then he goes on to say, don't avenge yourselves. Don't see, you know, someone might do something wrong to you. I know. It's an easy path to go down and say, I don't want to get back. But Paul, just as the Lord was saying, Paul as well, reiterating some words, vengeance will belong to God. Our role in this life, in verse 20, if your enemy's hungry, do what you can for him. He's thirsty, give him a drink. Try to show the better way of living. What you're doing with all this is that you're showing him a better way. You're heaping coals of fire on his head. Not literally, but kind of lighting the fire under him. But they will seek a better way of living. Don't be overcome by this, by evil. But again, love those. The tax collectors, they will love those who love them. But they'll hate those who hate them. We're supposed to be living a better way of life. You know, God has blessed all people. If we go back to our text again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. He says here, again, loving your neighbors. Here's the reason why, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Notice there he says, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, each of the seasons, we're up here. You're able to enjoy all of the different seasons. Right now, we are just, we got the heat going on right now. I enjoy that. I enjoy being able to kind of see all the different seasons. But you got the rain, you got the snow, you got the sunshine. Guess what? On those that may be following God, on those who are not following God, it falls on all of them, all the different seasons. God has watched over us and has blessed. All people are able to enjoy. All people are able to see God's creation in all things. Because in the beginning, God created all things. And he made man and woman to be able to enjoy the beauty of this earthly home. He sends his sunshine and his rain on the just and on the unjust. We have evidence of all this. And the evidence points to God in the hope that we can be able to see God. We might turn to him. All the things that we have in this life, the sun falling and the rain falling on the just, on the unjust, we can be able to see God and believe that he is. We read Hebrews 11:6. The whole verse says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's no partiality with God. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust so that we might be able to see even just a glimpse of it and believe that he is, and that he has made this possible. And he will reward those who will diligently seek this better way. Again, there's no partiality with God. We read in Romans 2, verse 11. Romans 2, verse 11, there is no partiality with God. He has offered his life, his son, as a sacrifice for all. He has provided all things for all people. We read in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is willing to give us things that we need in this life with liberality. Willing to give, as Charles mentioned in his prayer a little bit ago, asking God for wisdom. God is willing to help us on that matter, to be able to seek him, to be able to find him, to know him, to know his ways. There is no partiality. God has given his word for all people. they might be able to believe in him. They might be able to act upon. They might be able to be saved. But again, as Jesus points out, kind of what we talked about, the title lesson, do more than the tax collectors. We look at verse 46 and verse 47 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so?" And you think about, how were the tax collectors viewed? Scum. They were viewed as scum back then. They were viewed as being individuals that were thieves. You know, you pay, okay, you owe this much. If you give me this much, we'll call it a deal, you know. And, oh, you're going to take that money, you're going to pocket something. Yeah, well, that's what they did. There's kind of the custom of it. Rome was going to get their portion, their cut of the deal. They were going to pocket some. That was the end of it. But look at how what their actions were. They were willing to love those that love them. Very simple. Jesus points it out right here. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? The tax collectors, they do this. They're willing to greet those who greeted them. If someone gave them a, "Hey, hello, how are you?" Why, they'd respond. The tax collectors, they do the same thing. But Jesus, as we look at our look at Matthew chapter 5, looking at the text that we've looked at so far, what about those who don't love them? The tax, they're not going to love them. Probably might treat them a little bit harsher. But what does that say about us? What about those who don't greet them? They don't get that friendly, "Hello, how are you?" What about us? You know, if you look in, before we go over to Matthew chapter 5, look at some verses earlier, I want to look over in Luke. If you'll turn there. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, I don't have these on the board tonight, but Luke chapter 10. Let's begin with verse 25 and look down to verse 37 together. Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 25. "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit in eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' The lawyer answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and your neighbor as yourself.' And Jesus said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' The lawyer wanted to justify himself and said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?' And Jesus said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came near where he was, and saw him, and he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will again come and repay you.' So which of these three do you think the neighbor was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So you got at this individual on his way to Jericho. Falls among the thieves. we look and see, okay, here comes five priests. They, you know, maybe there's some concerns about some of this, but, you know, he might not be allowed to touch. But here it is. I think, you know, when I see the priest, I see him over here. Here's an animal. And sometimes the kids might see it, etc. They see that dead animal. When they see a skunk or a raccoon or something like that, you know, there might be a lot of, here's kids sitting there keeping their distance. Walking around, you know, to see it. Here's a safe zone. But they're looking, watching it the whole time. Here's that priest. There's that man left tapped it. Kind of looking over there, inspecting, keeping a distance. Goes on the other side of the road, be able to stay away from it, and then kind of walks by. Got the Levite. What does he do? Well, there he is. Laying over here. Half dead, pretty much. I don't know about this. I don't know. And I should say, you know, I want to maybe help, but, you know, he looks in pretty bad shape. Maybe I'm just going to go on the other side and kind of go from there. These are people that, you know, Jesus was using. Well, maybe they would help a fellow brother out. But what about that Samaritan? At that time, if that Samaritan saw that guy, according to the Jews, they'd finish him off. But what does he do? He goes, picks him up, bandages him, cares for his wounds. And, you know, somebody would say, that's pretty good. That might be good enough. No. He goes the next step. Takes him to an inn. He could have brought him to that innkeeper and said, here you go. I brought this man. I've taken care of him so far. You just go and do whatever you need to do with him now. No, he goes and gives him money. Puts him in this place and gives him money. Take care of this man. And when I come back, I will repay you everything. These, the Samaritans and the Jews, they were enemies. According to the Jews' belief, it was, if this guy is my enemy, I'm supposed to hate him. But Jesus showed a better way. He said, which one of these did the Lord's will? Which one of these took care of the one among them? Which one of them showed the way that I'm trying to teach? And that lawyer said, the one who showed mercy, compassion. Go do likewise. Don't be selective with it. Are we willing to go that extra? We might see somebody struggling. Are we willing to try to help out? There in Matthew chapter 5, if you go over there, Matthew 5 verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. He said, let your light so shine that you may, for men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're to be a true light. We're to be a true light in all things. Again, we look in Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus pointing out we're striving to be perfect. And Paul, as well in Philippians 3, verse 12 down to verse 16, he points out, here's how we keep our eye on the prize. It says, not that I've already attained, or I'm already perfect. Philippians 3, verse 12 down to verse 16. It says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are as mature, have this mind. Have the mind of Christ. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be
of the same mind. That mind of Christ. Christ teaching us a better way. It is more to be a child of God than just be living in the world. It's more than what the world standards are. It's more than what the tax collector standards were. Love those is what Jesus was getting at. Love those who may not love in return. That's difficult. I will admit that is very difficult to do. But we can do it. It can be done. Greet those who might not greet you. Again, difficult. Sometimes you get that look, get that eye. You know, if you say hi or something, you get that look just kind of like, I don't want you anywhere close to me. But still, you offer a hello. You can greet those. The tax collectors were unwilling to love those who loved them and greet those who did not greet them. She said, you're better than that. You got to show a better way. You're to share the gospel message with those who may not be willing to hear it. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said, then go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. There are some that are going to reject it. There are some that are going to not love you for it. Still do it. You show others love in the hope that also they might find eternal life. Let others know this hope of salvation. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel message tonight, we want to encourage you to make your life right with God. As Jesus pointed out, we're to be more than just tax collectors. And Jesus pointed out some of the traits that the tax collectors were willing to do. How they were willing to greet those who greeted them. How they were willing to love those who loved them. But that was as far as it would go. We got to show love towards others that might not love us in return. Again, offering that greeting to those who may not greet us in return. Share the gospel message with those who may not want to hear it. It's still what they need. We can teach others the good news in the hopes that they might know God. Hopes they might find God. Hopes they might obey God. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation call tonight, we're about to sing an invitation song, Just As I Am. If you are subject to the invitation call and you are ready to make your life right with God, have your sins washed in the waters of baptism, we want to extend that invitation to you tonight to make your life right with God. Maybe tonight you realize that you are a child of God, but you have fallen back into the ways of sin. Maybe you've not been loving the way you should have been loving. Or maybe you've not been, you kind of been doing just what the tax collectors have done. And maybe you realize that you need to do more. Maybe you've committed sin in your life and you need to make your life right with God once again to walk in that new way of life. We'll be glad to pray for you. Offer those prayers of forgiveness on your behalf as you're ready to repent and turn back to the fold of God. Maybe you're dealing with some of those pressures in this life, seeing how it's difficult to love others that may not love you in return. Maybe you just need those prayers of encouragement to be able to do those things. If we can pray for you, if we can encourage you tonight to make your life right with God or to continue to serve God faithfully, we'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to encourage you. All you have to do is let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you. You can have a seat on the front and let me know how we can assist you tonight. If you're ready to do it and ready to do it now, why don't you come forward now and walk together while we stand and while we sing.